Q107 is Toronto's rock station, home to the best rock music on earth, and the Daily Derringer podcast.
Talking today on the radio show about a guy named Eugene. Eugene had a tough ending. He was a gentleman who wrangled snakes, venomous snakes, for over 20 years. And his family said Eugene died doing what he loved to do, which was handle snakes. He loved to kiss snakes. That was his thing. Right? If you're in that world, you got to have a thing, right? Maybe it's your sparkling personality. Maybe it's your incredible zen-like ability to whisper to an animal of your choice. His whole thing was, hey, I can kiss a venomous snake. The snakes love me, except one didn't.
Yeah, and all you need is one in that case. Now, I also say he liked to wear a lot of camouflage, and it goes to show that doesn't always work. Because the snakes saw him clearly.
Because you also said that he was doing this at unlicensed street fairs.
Festivals. Yeah,
like, if correct. You got, like, if you're going to use some pylons to close off your street for a festival, he'd show up with snakes. I know a lot of people like NASCAR for the crashes. If I'm at an unsanctioned street fest and you're handling a snake, I'm there for the bite. Like, what? How else are you supposed to entertain me? Ooh, it's going through your legs.
Yeah, success is a waste of your time.
I'm there for the bite. Sorry.
Eugene sounds like the kind of guy who would have been the opening act at a cockfight.
Oh, yeah. Right. But this guy got to finally be a closer.
Yes.
Right?
He did. And we've long decided, the three of us, that we don't care if we die doing something we love. I don't care. As long as it's quick.
Yep.
Doesn't matter whether it's something I hate. Like, I could, if I expired while cutting the lawn.
Right.
Vacuuming.
Doing your taxes.
Whatever, any of these things.
I just want to die in my sleep. Is that too much to ask?
It's not.
Well, I just hope you're not behind the wheel when it happens.
Right.
As long as you're not, I think we should all be safe.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, one day Parksy didn't make it to work. Okay. So I thought I'd go through this list, and including one here from Toronto that for years was considered to be an urban legend, but isn't, sadly. But some of the weird ways that people have met their fates.
Wow. I think I already know your Toronto story.
You know that?
That's how famous this one
is.
Yes, it
is. Yes, it is.
1993? Yeah. And you know what's funny? I just saw it on TikTok a little while ago. And oddly enough, I was like, that's my city.
Yeah. Yay. Go Toronto.
Yeah.
All right, so we mentioned on the radio, 6th century guy, Milo of Croton, that was 6th century B.C., an Olympic wrestler, and he tried, I don't think it was a genius move on Milo's part, tried to split a tree with his hands. Not quite sure how he figured how that was going to work. Anyway, his hands got trapped inside the split that he did seem to cause, and then he, because he couldn't extricate himself, was eaten by wolves, which is, man, that's got to suck, eh?
Oh, your hands are caught and you're just flailing your legs at hungry wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why that story is passed down from generation to generation is somebody must have been there with him, right? So the guy gets his hands caught trying to chop down a tree, right? And his buddy's like, hey, I'll be back.
Yeah.
You obviously can't get out. Goes back, gets drunk, forgets all about Milo. Comes back the next day, wolf... fur all over his dead carcass.
Yeah, well, there's a third of Milo.
The only solution I can think of to get your hands out of a stuck tree would be something like butter, which might work, but it also might attract the wolves. You're setting Milo up.
Honey would do the job.
Yeah, honey, yeah. Same thing. Wolves smell that.
He was probably like, lay off the food, man. I'd rather go this way. Okay, how about this? I didn't even know this was possible, but a guy named Zeno of Citium did this. He was around about the same time as Milo. So he was a philosopher, and so he philosophized all day, right? Like, hey, wow. And back then, the earth is flat, the whole universe revolves around the earth. There's a lot of stuff they got wrong. But anyway, he philosophized. That was his deal. And then one day, he was teaching some philosophy students, and he walked out of the room or the area where he was teaching them, and he stubbed his toe. And he was so disappointed and in such pain that he held his breath to the point where he died. Wouldn't every reflex you have as a person come back to haunt you when that's the way you want to go? He's like, my toe hurts so much, I'm ending this entire thing.
Okay, so hold on. The first guy, I understand how he died. He's stuck and a wolf ate him. How does this guy not just open his mouth?
Great question. Okay, he's a philosopher. obviously a very disciplined dude.
He took him his brain somewhere.
Correct.
Right? He's like, I'm going here, and I'm going to stay there.
That's amazing discipline, though.
What lasts longer, the pain from a stubbed toe or how long you can hold your breath for? Because I feel like the pain would subside by the time I'm almost dead.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he didn't philosophize that far down the road, though. Maybe he was like, man, you know what it's like when you stub your toe? Jesus, I just want to die here. Most of us don't carry through with it, right? Yeah. You're like, okay. Right?
I stubbed my toe and been like, F my life. And then, like, I've never jumped off my roof.
No, exactly. You guys ever watch Vikings? I don't think you did.
I know of the show. I just never saw it.
So it was based on a few, like, legendary, and we say legend, half, 90% of it's BS, but they just kind of stories that get passed down through the generations. And the main character, until he expired, was a guy named Ragnar Lothbrok. Travis Fimmel played him, and he was great. And actually, his death in the TV show is the same as it was in real life. And this, to go back to our man Eugene, when Ragnar was thrown into a pit of snakes.
The only episode I've seen.
Yeah, you seen that one?
I saw that one. Yeah. I'm like, please tell me it's a pit of snakes.
Yeah.
He went down hard.
Yeah, big pit of snakes.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that.
See, to me, the ultimate, if you ever decide, you guys, you want to kill me, you ever decide, geez, man, we've had enough of this guy, let's kill him, it would not be a pit of snakes. It would suck. I mean, a pit of rats?
Brutal.
The all-time worst.
But snakes would get you faster, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd probably last a long time with rats.
Oh, some of these things were snapping at them. Yeah. Well, the rats would eat you pretty quick, too. Starving rat. Oh, ugh. Okay, how about this guy? Every single one of these deaths suck. Not a good one. There's not one we go, hey, awesome way to go out. But there was a Byzantine emperor, and his name was Basil. And Basil was out deer hunting. So this is in 886. So this is around the same time as the Vikings. And they're out looking for some deer. They're going to take down some big game. And unfortunately, he got tangled up his belt. And they had the big old belts back then. They were like a WWE championship belt, right? That was a big, hefty, thick belt. And it got tangled up in the antlers of a deer. And the the deer dragged him 16 miles.
Dragging them on the ground?
See, 16 miles.
All right, I don't want to make accusations. I'm guessing he was trying to do something with that deer he shouldn't have done. And if I'm the family member, I'm like, no, he was hunting.
So you say you don't want to make accusations and then immediately make an accusation.
Why are your belts, your pants around an animal? Right? And listen, at those days, probably desperate times.
It's good Columbo, eh?
Okay. I see where you're going.
He still died. I mean, not the end of it. It's just what were his intentions?
Well, imagine the stuff you'd hit on a 16-mile run while you're entangled with a deer. Like, how many rocks did your head hit?
Oh, yeah. Because they didn't have...
Doing,
That's like a cartoon. Maybe through some water. Yeah.
Okay, you know Eddie Ironside from Braveheart. Mm. The real Edmund Ironside, who was a king of England back in 1016, was allegedly stabbed while he was on a toilet by an assassin hiding underneath.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
Who would you rather be?
I think I'd go with the 16-mile drag.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, because that's right in the fundament.
But then the guy doing it. Like, you're waiting there? Like, how long do you know? Like, I don't know.
What if he doesn't show up for a few days?
And how do you know it's him, judging by just that section?
Yeah.
Right? Sure. What if it's like his brother, who's completely innocent?
And I feel like if you're going to do a contracted assassin hit these days, you're getting probably paid pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know what sort of danger pay you're getting from hanging out in a toilet waiting for a dude in the Braveheart days. What are you getting, like, shekels?
There was an Italian author named Pietro Aretino back in the mid-1550s. Somebody at a dinner he was at told an obscene joke, and he laughed so hard he had a heart attack and died right there.
Wow.
That's a hell of a joke, eh?
Hmm.
That's when you know somebody's telling. Like, I wonder what the joke was. Like, was it, the one about the guy in the three guys that go to heaven? You know that one?
What was that one again?
So they, like, the three guys, and they all go to heaven, and they meet St. Peter, and they want to get into heaven. And the first guy says, well, I went home one day, and I thought my wife was cheating on me, so I went home early on purpose. And when I got to the apartment that we live in, my wife was naked, and I looked on the balcony, and there was a guy hanging from the balcony. So I started kicking his fingers, and I kicked his fingers, and then he fell, and I was so upset that I took the went in and I grabbed the refrigerator and I dropped the refrigerator and I hit him and killed him and I died of a heart attack. I was so upset. St. Peter's was like, wow, that's quite a story. The next guy says, well, I was in my apartment and I was on the balcony and I slipped and fell and I was holding on. I was holding on to the balcony, and then a guy started kicking my fingers, and down I went. And then, what do you know? This clown goes in and grabs the freezer or the refrigerator and drops it down, and it hit me, and I'm dead. And St. Peter's like, ah, man, that's quite a story. So he says to the third guy, what about you? And he says, well, I knew this married woman, and the husband comes home early, so I hid in the refrigerator.
Heart attack. Yes, time.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay, so here's one. You ever see people do this? Because I find this to be a weird play. When somebody, you're an event or something, and somebody you see asking somebody else for a smoke. Johnny, remember this when we used to smoke butts and you'd be outside and somebody'd say, hey, can I have a smoke? I don't want my wife to know.
Yeah.
Right? And you go like, dude, have you smelled yourself?
Right.
But you probably don't, because when you smoke, you don't smell as well as when you do smoke. And it's like, buddy, your wife's going to know you just had a butt anyway. And sometimes you'll see it with teens when they don't want mom or dad to know they're having a butt. Archduchess Matilda of Austria back in 1867, the year our country became a country, 1867, her old man had said, like, enough, I want you to lay off the butts. And she said, okay, no more smokes, Dad. And then she was having a smoke, and she saw her paw, and she went, oh, my God, and she hid it under her dress, and her dress caught fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you're better off just being honest with Dad. Oh. Hey, Dad, I'm having a dart here.
Because those were big, heavy dresses.
They certainly were tough to put out when they were on fire, one would think. Okay, Parksy, I know you're going to like this one. Before we get to the finale, King Alexander of Greece, in 1920, he was bitten by his pet Barbary macaque in the garden while trying to break up a fight between his German shepherd and another monkey. So this guy loved his animals, and the macaque said, enough of your act, I am going to rip your flesh, and did, and down he went.
Any idea where he was bitten? Was it a...
I do not know.
Macaque on macaque crime? I'm just doing the math.
You don't disappoint, my friend.
I'm just doing the math in my head about the height, probably right there for him. That's got to suck.
Parksy, you never disappoint.
Hey, it's a podcast. You can be a little edgier.
Yeah, you never, ever
disappoint. What kind of crime?
A macaque crime?
Oh, okay.
I think it very well.
They should make that into a movie.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so final one. You know the story, and it is the death of Gary Hoy. Gary Hoy, I remember when this story was first told. It was probably like when it actually happened here in town in 93. It was like people didn't believe it, right? People did not believe that this actually happened. But I'll read it, the story for you. Gary Hoy was a corporate and securities law specialist in Toronto. While giving a tour of the Toronto Dominion Center to a group of ArcLing students, Hoy attempted to demonstrate the strength of the structure's window glass by slamming himself into a window. He had apparently performed this stunt many times in the past, having previously bounced harmlessly off the glass. After one attempt which saw the glass hold up, Hoy tried once more. The force of Hoy slamming into the window removed the window from its frame, causing the entire intact window and Hoy to fall from the building. The occurrence in a small conference room adjacent to a boardroom where a reception was being held for new ArcLing students. So Gary went down and ended up, that was it.
That's got to be tough.
Yes. It was the company that he worked for, the law firm, actually closed after that. I think it was so bad for business that it was terrible. And they, I think, probably became, in a weird, macabre way, kind of the joke of the industry.
Well, because it's one of those stories you're like, I can't be, that's one of those stories that gets passed around but isn't actually true. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that that is a true one. And it's got, like, I just keep on thinking of him, and I'm thinking, as he's going out that window, what are you thinking?
Oh.
Like, what did I just do? I was just trying to be funny.
Yep.
And it was kind of silly looking at it now. But, like, I'm done now.
And it wasn't that the glass broke. The entire frame went out.
Mm.
Right? Like, the entire pane went down. Like, it came out. From
sucks.
Whatever was holding it.
Sucks. Womp, womp.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, that certainly did. That was back in 1993. Sorry to leave you on a bummer there, but the Gary Hoy story, if somebody ever says that to you and mentions this guy that, hey, jumped into a into a window in Toronto and then fell to his death, yeah, it actually did happen.
Okay, so if you had to pick one of everything you mentioned, like, which one are you taking? You know where I'm going. You know what death I want.
The macaque.
100%.
Yes, indeed. Johnny Garth Garvin?
I kind of like the guy who got his hands caught. You did that to yourself. Hey, tough guy? Yeah.
Okay.
I like to go out that way.
Mm-hmm. I think I would like to hear a joke so obscene and so funny that I act like that I'm so so filled with jovial laughter and joy that I don't realize I'm on the verge of dying.
Yeah. Because at least the last thing you remember was fun.
Was a good time.
Right. Not like the dude on the toilet.
Or the guy with the antler.
Right.
Right.
Right. Started off to be a good time.
Got Victor, who may or may not be the victor. Hey, Victor.
My Victor's good, Clarence.
Oh, I hear you. It's been a while, buddy.
Are you Mr. X or are you Mr. CN Tower?
Oh, you're killing me, Victor. You're killing me. Mr. CN Tower, what's going on with you?
Everything's great, man.
Excellent. You would say life has been treating you well, Victor.
Very well, yeah.
Excellent. Always a positive guy that you are, Victor. You never come on a bummer. You never come on as like, man, life sucks.
No, everything's cool.
Excellent. Well, that's great to hear, Victor. Got a couple of nights out for you, separated by 1 week. One is next week at Cirque du Soleil Curios. You ever been to a Cirque show?
One of them, it was at the docks.
Yeah, they've done it down there. Now they're moving a little west down to Ontario Place. There's plenty of room at Ontario Place these days. So this one is, they call it the Cabinet of Curiosities. It'll be amazing. They always are. You'll see that next week. And then the following week, Billy Joel's The Stranger at the Rose in Brampton.
Nice.
So your man Parksy's here, Victor.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
Cool. I still shop at that dairy section at the Loblaws that you used to stock, man.
Respect, Victor. I hope the yogurts are faced up.
Is there any sort of plaque or memorial for Parker's years at that Loblaws?
You want me to put one up?
Yes, yeah,
you
please.
Should. Yeah.
I'm just happy to know that there's another generation doing a great job as well.
Just put one up and it said, for Ryan Parker, he hated this place and everyone in it.
He made it out alive.
That's right.
All right, Victor, you're up.
Yes, Victor. Right. Okay, first two kind of simple, and then they get a little more difficult as we move on. Good luck to you. 40 seconds, and your time is starting now. If you're parched, what are you?
Very dry.
Yeah, I give you that, I guess. Someone who's good with words is said to have gift of the...
gab.
What card game has cards like skip, reverse, draw two, and draw four?
Pass.
What country is moussaka their national dish?
Greek.
Before a match, what do sumo wrestlers throw in a purifying ritual?
Salt?
Yeah. So it's a card game. They got
Uno,
card.
Uno.
Yeah, you got it. Five for five, buddy.
Rocket.
Okay. There you go. Just hang tight there. You stay
Victor
down.
Victorious?
Yeah, big time. Five for five.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
An assault on my dignity early.
you can tie. I believe in you.
Well, I'm going to say I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not calling my shot.
I believe you can tie.
Okay, Cher.
A little I believe you can tie Victor.
One thing you do have in common with Cher is you look the same as you did when you were 23.
Of course, because I had my ribs removed like Cher did. Put me on a ship with a bunch of seamen.
All right, so I got to get five to tie our good man, Victor.
Yep.
All right, ready? Do it.
If you're parched, John, you would be what?
Thirsty.
Yeah, someone's good with words. They have the gift of the...
gab.
What card game has cards like skip, reverse, draw two, draw four?
Oh, pass.
What country is moussaka their national dish?
Oh, moussaka, Greece?
Yes. Before a match, what do sumo wrestlers throw in a purifying ritual?
Wow, Victor, nicely done.
Done good. So for the card game, it's Uno.
Okay.
And I just want to know, Victor, are you...
I've never played Uno.
No?
Never played the game.
Great game. Good with kids. Not too complex. And you don't take their money like poker.
Okay.
Victor, were you a sumo wrestler? How did you know it's salt that the sumo wrestlers throw around?
As we travel through this thing called life, I'm starting to resemble looking like a sumo wrestler.
Aren't we all, Victor?
With diaper
the
nice and all?
Spoiler in the front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yes, you know what? Wives love it. They have no choice.
Well, there's no question we should all be throwing salt here. That's great. Nice performance, Victor. Always good to talk to you, buddy. We got Cirque du Soleil next week, and then the Billy Joel album, Stranger, the following week at the Rose up in Brampton.
Okay, thanks, Johnny. Ryan.
Well, you take care. Well, you certainly hear the conversation a lot these days about going back to work, and many, like this month, it sounds like, May is a month where a lot of companies are, okay, come back a day, come back a two, in some cases, come back the whole time. But there's this company, a law firm in London, and what they're saying to their employees, and we all know there's a lot of people who have the opportunity to work at home, which really was totally not a thing 5 years ago, right? I mean, there were some jobs that were work at home, that you were hired, and there was no expectation you were going. In some cases, the company you were working for didn't really even have an office, right? But the idea of being sent home and then staying there, and a lot of people went, I like the taste of this, right? This isn't so bad. So this law firm said, okay, to lawyers, many of whom they'd hired because I guess they were doing good business during COVID, and they've said, okay, here's the deal right now. Spring of 2022, you do not ever have to come back into the office, ever. You never have to set foot in our law offices again. However, you got to take a 20% pay cut.
Hmm.
And it seems like there's great debate, as you would probably expect, amongst their employees going, I don't know, do we want to do this or not?
I guess it really comes down to the calculation of what does your commute cost you in your wallet and mentally.
Yeah. Well, and, your head, is that worth the 20%? I don't know.
I mean, I know this is in the UK. I got to think gas is just as expensive there. If they're saying $2 a liter this summer, like, you know, we talked about it early days of COVID, people working from home, and we said, you know, can you let us know how much money you're saving if this carries on for a year? Some of the texts we got, I remember, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year when you factor in gas, maybe potentially food you got to eat out once in a while, parking.
Well, and let's face it, the economy's changed a ton in the last 2 years. That was when gas was 70 cents a liter.
So if you make $100,000 a year and you say, I'm going to make 80, but it costs me 25 to go to work, or even if it's around the same and you don't have to go through that mental stress.
Well, and it does depend on how much you're making too, because it is a different, the proportion is the same, but going from 100 to 80 is different than going from 50 to 40.
Sure.
Right? 50 to 40. Now, then you got to start thinking, okay, we were already a little tight here. Now we're going to be even tighter. Now, I don't have the headaches. We don't have to pay for the gas. I'm not going to be sitting in traffic for an hour every day or more.
Like, do you guys know? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't do the math on purpose because I think I would throw up. Do you know what you spend a year getting to Toronto and back every year?
No, I don't want to know.
No, me neither.
No. Like, Craig emailed us yesterday or texted us and said, for Mother's Day, he was driving his mom's car out to Squamish, B.C. And he said he was going to be listening to the station across the country. And he just drove through Marathon, Ontario this morning, and he said the gas was like $2.05. And we're getting mighty close there now, right? Like, the expectation is that it's going to be over $2. But everything has gone up. So the question we'd pose to you, if you are working from home, what would you say if your employer said, hey, you're not, don't worry about it. You have no, and this isn't a choice thing, by the way. This is either you take the 20% hike or 20% drop and don't come into work, or you're out of a job.
Right.
Right? It's not like you can say, nah, I think I'll stick with the 2 days a week routine that you want me to do. But what would you do?
And I guess the other part you got to ask yourself is, do you like being at home? Like, it seems like in my group of friends talking to people, generally speaking, they like it. But some people might go shack wacky, right?
Well, and not only that, for three guys like us, there's nobody that loves us coming to work more than our families. I mean, they really like the fact that we go to work every day. So have they decided whether they're going to bring the circles back in the parks, like Trinity Bellwoods? Because there is going to be, if not already tabled very soon, new legislation, local legislation, that will allow Torontonians to drink in parks. And we remember from, I guess it was the summer of 2020, when they had the circles. Remember the effort they put into those circles? They were like perfect. They were like crop circles. They were like perfect spheres. And they spent a lot of time. They spent more time on the intricacies of painting those circles than they do like the baselines at Rogers Center.
Maybe, did they hire the same person?
Probably.
Yeah.
Like, they were beautiful. They were perfectly done. And clearly whoever put them together had not been drinking. But I guess Josh Matlow says, we think people should be able to drink in parks. They do it in world-class cities. Man, we love to throw that one out, don't we?
What do we always say? We have to say we're world-class, we're not world-class.
Mm-hmm. Vienna! Mm-hmm. People are drinking everywhere. I think in Vienna, like, four-year-olds have a glass of wine with dinner, too, it's don't
no
they?
No big deal.
No. But it's the same thing as anything that involves alcohol. I mean, you will have somewhere in the vicinity of 90 to 95% of people just have a glass of wine. And then the other 5 to 10% will get completely liquored and use somebody's backyard as a toilet across the street from the park.
I say this then, to answer your question, if there are no circles, then I'm good with the booze. If the circles come back, it's a no-go.
I disagree. I think you should have circles, and those are the drinking circles. If you see a circle unoccupied in a park, go nuts!
You can't leave the circle.
No, but you get hammered. Sleep there.
You need assistance to get back to the street.
Sure. So that's a drinking circle.
So you're separating, like the planes back in the 80s, where you had smokers and non-smokers.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying you separate us, drinkers to non-drinkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
The 50 circles on the one half of the park are for non-drinkers. That's the family circles.
Yes. But
and then the other side is where you can get liquored up. And the key to this is, the people who are liquored up cannot invade the family space. You got to stay in your circle, man.
No, listen, here's the problem. I've been on both circles, right? I've been the family guy. I've been the drunk in the middle. Here's the problem. I trust the family side. I trust they would do their own thing. Little cornhole, little frisbee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little Shirley Temple. Wash down some crackers. The drunks, I don't trust. They're drifters. You know they're drifters, because they're going to see like a, one guy's going to see like a hot mom, and he's going to go over there, and he's going to be like, she's probably sick of her life with that guy and her kids. Wait till I go over there and charm her.
Uh-huh.
They drift.
And then the cops get involved.
And the cops get involved. It's too much. I think you have to have completely different parks. I think you have to have drunk parks and sober parks.
That's not a bad idea.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that I do like. Rather than splitting the park up.
Yep.
So, why don't we head out for a couple hours? It was a beautiful day. You want to go to the drunk park or the sober park? You know what? I got to tell you, I'm down with the drunk park this afternoon.
And you know what? I would give the cherry blossom parks to the drunks.
But you are so personal when it comes to the cherry blossoms, aren't you?
Sherry blossoms.
Give them the ones with the built-in bathrooms, too, so we don't have to bring in the porta potties. Robert playing this part was Victor. He tuned me up something good at 6:45. He was basically Kyle Clifford. We've suspended Victor from the show after his beatdown this morning on the first edition of the game. And good morning to you, Robert.
Hey, John. I'm willing to get suspended, too.
Nice. You're willing to take a couple of days off. pay the price in the old sin bin.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how'd you like last night's game, Robert?
Oh, enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. We got all the curses off our back, I think, the hexes.
Were you at some point a little concerned that they were going to take a detour, like late in the second period?
Well, yeah, I don't think I've ever felt too easy even in the third, but, you know, that's the way Toronto is, but we pulled it off last night.
You know what? It makes us stronger, healthier, happier people, Robert.
Absolutely.
There is nothing that we can't overcome when we followed the Toronto Maple Leafs for our whole lives. Everything else is incidental. So we got for you tickets to go see, have you ever been to a Classic Albums live show?
No, I haven't.
They're excellent. They put together museums. It's more for the ears than for the eyes, because they play albums like exactly like they are on the record. And then, because, you know, back in the days when everything was released on vinyl, you had like 40, maybe 45 minutes to play with. And then CDs, of course, expanded the amount that you could put onto one album. So because some of them are from those days, they fill it out with some other songs from that artist. This time, it's a great album, The Stranger, Billy Joel, and that's on May 19th, a week from Thursday, at the Rose Theater in Brampton.
Nice.
All right, Robert, so your buddy R. Parker, straight out of Acton, Ontario, has got five questions for you.
Yeah, and it's a good thing you watched that game last night, Robert, because there is a question that comes into play here, question number four. You got three more before that, then question five. We'll see how you do. 40 seconds. You ready to go?
Yep.
Time starts now. How much money is a grand?
$1,000.
Who visits children after they lose a tooth?
Tooth fairy.
On which hand did Captain Hook have his hook?
Left.
Name three Maple Leafs that scored last night.
Mitch Marner, Muzzin, and Austin Matthews.
What does a Geiger counter measure?
Earthquakes.
All right. Lots of time on the clock.
Yeah, no kidding.
Holy cow. Robert did very well. 4 for 5.
Following up Victor's 5 for 5 performance earlier today.
Together,
we got a couple
two.
Of champs here.
Yeah, they're doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
9 for 10 combined.
Mm.
Let's see if you can go 10 for 10. No? You went, what, 4-3 this morning? Oh, let's see.
I did. I got smoked big time.
Let's have a big performance right here. Let's step it up.
I am going to do my very best. I'm going to do my Mateo Roach right now.
Going for 20 straight.
I am.
Okay.
Ties up. Fifth longest ever. Go.
How much money is a grand?
$1,000.
Who visits children after they lose a tooth?
The Tooth Fairy.
Which hand did Captain Hook have his hook?
Oh, got to be a lefty.
Name three Maple Leafs that scored last night.
Mitch Marner.
Yes.
Austin Matthews.
Yes.
And who scored? Willie Nylander. No, he didn't score. No. Oh, Jake Muzzin.
What does a Geiger counter measure?
Minerals.
Like radioactivity.
Okay, yes.
Robert said
close enough.
Earthquakes. I say maybe a mineral starts radioactively.
Yeah, I don't bummed know. About Muzzin. Muzzin was the first one.
First one. Just a rocket from the blue line.
Yes.
Just a clapper.
What's that other guy's last name?
Camp.
Camp?
Yeah, Camp. Camp scored on a breakaway.
Cool.
He is,
yeah.
That's how you say it? Camp?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people throw a little. You throw a little of the F in there, Camp. Like you,
Camp.
Johnny. You just want to, just a little Camp.
Okay, I got it.
Not a big.
Okay,
Camp. I love any athlete that's got some sort of accent that's not an A goo.
Johnny loves a word that ends with a, rather than starts with a.
Camp.
So, Robert, there you go. That is a week from Thursday, Rose Theater, Brampton, Billy Joel's The Stranger album, done by Classic Albums Live.
All right, have a great day, guys.
Yeah,
you
too. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Wasn't long enough? We've heard that before. Listen to Derringer in the Morning, weekday 6 to 10 on Q107.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.